And General Vincent Brooks is now coming to the podium in Doha, Qatar.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to give you today's update, and afterwards we'll pause for questions. Let me begin by saying the coalition continues Operation Iraqi Freedom on our sixth day since the coalition ground forces began their attack into Iraq. We remain on plan, and we're confident that we will accomplish our objectives. The regime has shown its true colors in the recent days of fighting. The demonstrated brutality, the disregard for the laws of armed conflict, and most importantly, the repressive measures taken against the Iraqi population are all quite clear. Our men and women demonstrating courage and resolve in removing this regime from power, and we are mindful of our own fallen comrades and their families. The coalition is growing in strength and also in support, with now over 47 countries contributing to the operation. We're unified in purpose and in our commitment to achieving our aims. As I've done before, I'd like to give you an update on our operations, and then afterwards, as I mentioned, we'll proceed to questions. Our attacks against the regime remain direct, and we believe they're effective. And I've got five weapon system video clips to show you today, and these were all taken within the last 2 days. Let's bring up the first one, please. This is a bridge out in western Iraq, and there's a military vehicle that's positioned up underneath of it. You'll see it attacked. The weapon comes in from the far right underneath of the bridge, and the bridge remains intact afterwards.
That's exactly what this video is showing, just a highway bridge. A tank's been
a multiple rocket launcher in the vicinity of An Najaf in central Iraq.
There's an image of something here on black and white video, and that
a hardened
has just blown
air shelter near Karbala in central Iraq.
And this is a rectangular building there. Again, grainy black and white video, and it explodes.
The next one is a tank, also in Karbala, in a revetted position.
This is maybe an evening shot. It's fairly dark. There's another explosion.
And finally, a military headquarters building near Karbala.
A clear shot of a large-looking building near this northern town of Karbala. And the building just...
Our direct attacks against regime command, control, communications, and integrated air defense continue, and included attacks against several targets of opportunity yesterday. I've got two sets of images to show you today, and again, I'll show you before and after images just to make it clear how we attack, where we attack, and to emphasize one more time how precise and deliberate we intend to be. The first one that we'll bring up is an Iraqi intelligence service headquarters in Baghdad. On the image, you'll see the split in the road, and the headquarters facilities really go on both sides of the road, but the right side of the split is really where the targets were located. I would say also it's within one block of a mosque, a school, and a prison in multiple directions around the outsides. The next image, please. The post-strike image shows an effective attack against the targeted facilities, and this is the split view that shows them both. The next image is a brigade headquarters in the south of Baghdad. This is a brigade camp that's about 20 miles outside of Baghdad to the south, and the targeted facilities within it are the command buildings and one communications building.
This is a large military compound that he's describing with the buildings throughout it. And in the next image, many of the buildings that were there before are gone.
Our coalition special operations forces continue to set conditions for our conventional forces by calling in close air support on military targets, including last night the destruction of the Ba'ath Party headquarters in As-Samawa. Our land component remains on track and had action at several places, and I'll highlight some of those to you this afternoon. Let's bring up this map, please. And these are really the areas where much of the contact occurred in the last 24 hours. First, southeast of An Najaf, there were a series of engagements that occurred over the period of about 3 to 4 hours. Coalition forces of U.S. 5th Corps sustained a few damaged vehicles and in turn inflicted significant damage on the Iraqi force. Near An-Nasiriyah, the 1st Marine Expeditionary Force gained control of a hospital that was in use as a paramilitary headquarters, staging area, and storage area. Notably, within the hospital, there were 200 weapons, Iraqi military uniforms, one tank, 3,000 chemical protective suits, and nerve agent antidote injectors. Our UK forces conducted aggressive patrols in the Al Faw area and Umm Qasr to increase the security in those areas, and also conducted a raid that destroyed a Ba'ath Party headquarters in Basra. They continued to have success against the irregulars in the area. And our maritime component cleared the Khor Abdullah all the way up to the port of Umm Qasr. That waterway is now open, and we intend to start moving vessels in as soon as possible to bring humanitarian supplies, and I'll talk about that in a moment. We continue to talk about the importance of information and our efforts to communicate with the Iraqi people and also with the Iraqi military. I have two leaflets to show you today that express what we've been communicating. These are important leaflets, again, to inform the Iraqi people what must be done to protect them and how to stay away from coalition operations, since combat operations are inherently dangerous. Informs them to also go to the radio, and this is consistent with the radio broadcasts that we've had. The second one also, same sort of theme, and talks about special operations forces. Keep distance to remain safe. We remain committed to preserving the rich culture and heritage and the resources of the Iraqi people. The regime continues to put them at risk. I've showed you before images of MiGs and cemeteries. Today I want to show you an image of military equipment positioned close to a very historic site. Let's bring up the image. This is a part of the ruins of a place called Ctesiphon. It's about 20 miles southeast of Baghdad on the banks of the Tigris River. And it is a site that has over 2,000 years of history, and it's significant to a number of nations. What you see with the yellow lines is military equipment, communications equipment positioned right beside that. On top of the building, as the sign shows, this is marked with an international symbol of being a historic place. Nevertheless, progress is being made daily by the coalition in our effort to preserve the resources vital to Iraq's future. Humanitarian supplies have been loaded and are moving on their way to Umm Qasr as we speak. The port is being prepared for reopening, and port workers have been invited to come back and begin work. And I would also say that there are now, in the Rumaila oil fields, there's now 6 wells that are on fire. Yesterday was one was put out with the aid of the Kuwaiti oil company. And so I'll wrap this up at this point by reemphasizing that we are committed, we're on track, and we remain sure of the final outcome. With that, I'll take your questions. Kelly?
Hello, General. One of our embedded reporters has described to us this morning that U.S. troops have encountered an Iraqi who was in a U.S. military uniform and strapped with explosives. That Iraqi was found already dead. Can you give us any information about other instances like this, and how are U.S. and coalition troops prepared to deal with it?
Well, let me first say I had not heard that report, although I must say that I'm not surprised by it. CENTCOM has already been on the record to say that we had information that this regime would seek to gain U.S. and U.K. uniforms in order to commit atrocities. And so if that's the report, if that's true, I'm not at all surprised by that. What I would say to you also, though, is it tells us about the tactics of this regime. We've begun to see that more and more over the last several days. The practices that have been conducted by these paramilitaries and by these others who are out there, sometimes in uniform, sometimes not in uniform, are more akin to the behaviors of global terrorists than they are to a nation. And that certainly is in our mind at this time.
Please. General Brooks, Tom Mantur with CNN. There is information out there that the bridges leading into Baghdad may have been set with explosives. What can you tell us about intelligence that you're getting about the approaches to Baghdad being like that?
We've heard the same kind of reports, and when I join that type of report with what I showed you yesterday, the oil trenches that were deliberately built inside of Baghdad and set aflame already, I'm not at all surprised that that would be the case. We have heard reports about bridges being mined, bridges being rigged with demolitions is the more appropriate way to describe that, in several parts of town. And it just reminds us that this regime will go to extraordinary lengths to protect itself. The first set, by the way, separated Saddam City from where the majority of the regime's work is. Please.
You're listening to a briefing by U.S. Army Central Command in Doha, Qatar.
Section of Baghdad that killed 14 civilians. Can you confirm that and tell us what went wrong? And secondly, on Sunday, the coalition forces attacked a bridge in western Iraq and killed 5 civilians. And I'm wondering why the bridge was attacked when I thought the goal was not to destroy Iraq's infrastructure.
Well, first, I'm not aware of, I've heard this report that that you're saying it's in the media right now. We don't have a report that corroborates that, and so I can't confirm it. What I can tell you is, as I've shown you on a regular basis, we have a very, very deliberate process for targeting. It's unlike any other targeting process in the world. It takes into account all science. It takes into account all capability. And we do everything physically and scientifically possible to be precise in our targeting and also to minimize secondary effects, whether it's on people or structures. As to the bridge in the West, we know that that's an area where the regime has, in the past, positioned weapons that can reach neighboring countries. And as I showed in the earlier video clip, we'll hide military vehicles underneath of those bridges. Our efforts in that case were related to destroying what was beneath the bridge. Please, over here.
Yes. Faisal Badrout from AFP and Al-Watan of Qatar. Well, now it's almost 1 week since the war started, and many hundreds of civil Iraqians have been killed by coalition bombs. Well, do you think that it will help Iraqi people to believe you and to trust you, to believe that you are coming to emancipate them?
Well, thank you for the question. First, I don't accept the premise of the question, which says that the civilians have been killed by coalition bombs. I just don't accept that. What we've seen over the last several days is Iraqi citizens being marched out in front of irregular formations while they are firing. Iraqi civilians are being killed on the battlefield by Iraqis. I can't make that point more strongly than I've just done it. Please.
Sir, a few days ago, General Frank stood here and said this was a platform for truth, not propaganda. To that end, when will you show us pictures of what happens when precision bombs don't go where they're supposed to, when they fail to hit their designated targets, or if they fail to go off at all? And will you also provide us with a running audit of the effectiveness of these weapons, that is, the numbers that succeed, the numbers that miss, and the ones that don't go off? And if you don't, doesn't that expose you to the charge that this is more propaganda than truth?
Well, I can certainly assure you, having been up here each one of the days and each one of the briefings, that this is a platform for truth. I cannot say that about everything that you're seeing from platforms in other countries or in other areas. And we certainly have seen different approaches to informing the media. We've got a wide open discussion with you on a daily basis. We have embedded media so that the truth does come out. And we believe we're being very consistent with that.
Please. Tom Fetter, CBS News, if I may follow up on that. We've been getting terrific snapshots from our embedded correspondents. But we were told we would then get the big picture here from this podium. And instead, we've been getting snapshot videos, vague generalities. We're on our timeline. That doesn't surprise me. Can you give us a little more of the big picture without telling us more than the Iraqis already know? For example, how many thrusts are there towards Baghdad? Are there 2? Are there multiple?
Well, it's a fair question, and I will tell you this. First, we have to preserve the security of the operation. That's our first priority, and we're going to do that. Operations are ongoing. We have forces that are arrayed throughout all of Iraq at this point. And so if you are someone in the regime wondering where it's going to come from, the answer is it's going to come from everywhere. I'm not going to put very specific terms on exactly what thrust, exactly what unit. It's just not prudent for us to do that. Please.
Kevin Dunn of ITV News. General, the pictures from this morning's bombing in Baghdad have already gone around the world. You've already seen them yourself. You must be able to give us some reaction to them and some knowledge, at least preliminary, of what happened, which bombs were dropped, and why it went wrong.
Well, I honestly cannot. We don't know that those were ours. We can't say that we had anything to do with that at this point. Once we have more information, we will be on the record about anything that happens in that way. Please.
General Jeff Mead of Sky News. Can I ask you to talk about Basra a little bit? There was a lot of excitement, particularly among the British military last night, at this apparent uprising. Now, has that happened? Was it wishful thinking? And do you understand that the people of Basra may be reluctant after what happened last time to rebel until they see coalition troops in their city supporting them? And isn't just this a reluctance to commit forces, putting the lives of your own troops before the civilians in Basra?
What we saw in Basra last night is a very confusing situation, to say the least. We saw first fighting happening within the city between Iraqis, some of them in uniform, some not in uniform. We also saw a significant degree of violent activity done by paramilitaries shooting into the town of Basra with mortars primarily. Again, a disregard for the people living there. The UK forces in that area were already conducting operations to try to block off the town and prevent any reinforcements from moving in and out of the town, and we've seen some movement of paramilitaries on the road from the north. They were effective in that and also ended up providing some counter-fire support against those mortars that were being fired into the town. So we would hope that, first, it's clear to us that the people of Basra have had about enough of what the regime is doing to them, and that's what we think we saw last night. And secondly, we remain committed to their liberation, not to their destruction. Please.
Yes, General Mohammed Al-Miz'al, Gulf News. Do we understand that the bad weather may lead to some of your bombs going wrong and hitting residential areas? Second part of the question, does the bad weather today affect your overall operations? Thanks.
Well, let me start by saying that as a matter of practice, in military operations, we always consider the effects of weather. And that happens from the lowest level to the highest level. Daily we analyze what the weather is going to be and what the impacts would be. And in some cases, it's as technical as deciding down at the lower end exactly how many charges you put on an artillery round before you fire it because of the barometric effects and the temperature effects, all the way up to should we fly, if so, with what aircraft, should we use a certain weapon system versus another. I can tell you that our operations that continued over the last several days took weather into account and continued in spite of it. Were we concerned with a loss of precision, we would not have conducted operations. So I'm satisfied that we have done all that we can do, again, to remain precise, remain on the plan, and attack those targets that were necessary for us. Let me come back over to the left, please.
David Lee Miller, Fox News.
General, during the past few days, we've seen Patriot batteries strike a number of missiles, incoming missiles. Can you tell us what type of missiles the Iraqis are using and whether or not these were the weapons prohibited by the United Nations and the weapons they claim they didn't have?
Yes, what we're seeing is variants of the Ababil 100 and the Asamud missiles. That's generally what they are. In some cases, we can't necessarily specify which it is, but we've had about 10 missiles fired at this point in time, all of which oriented toward Kuwait, a neighboring country. Those that have been threatening have all been shot down by Patriot missile systems. What is interesting is out of those missiles, several of them have been well beyond 150 kilometers. One missile flew extremely long and went into the North Arabian Gulf and went in the water at about 190 kilometers. Please.
General Donnell Bell for CTV News Canada. If it wasn't a coalition strike on the market, then what was it in Baghdad?
I can't say. I don't know. And when we find out, we'll try to determine. What I can tell you about our process, though, is if we have any concern that we may have had an error, and it's a fair question about what happens when we have a mistake, and mistakes can occur. When we have something like that, we will go back and examine flight paths, weapons release, what the circumstances were, and try to determine whether or not we had an impact on something like that. Right now, we simply don't know. Please, over here.
William Heinzer, Swiss Television. When is scheduled the first visit of the Red Cross to the Iraqi prisoners?
We've made coordination with the Red Cross. I don't know the specific date. I think it'll be at their earliest convenience at this point now that we have made the initial contacts for them to come and be able to visit any prisoners we have. We are very open about the treatment of our prisoners. I don't know the date, though.
Are there any prisoners right
now? Without getting too precise, I would say we're over 4,000 at the current time. Please open the right. Second row.
Li Baodong from Xinhua News Agency of China. U.S. troops and coalition forces advanced well, as you said, and the troops are close to the Baghdad. And reports said it's important for Iraq to have to possess mass destruction of weapons, or to use the weapons in or around the Baghdad area, because it's also dangerous for the Iraqi troops. What's your idea of it?
We remain convinced that this regime has not only the means but also the will to use weapons of mass destruction. What we found last night inside of that hospital reinforces our concern in that regard. The danger does increase, we believe, as we approach Baghdad, but we are well prepared to deal with the potential use of chemical weapons. We've vaccinated and inoculated soldiers and sailors and airmen and Marines to the potential use. We have detection equipment. We have protective equipment. So all that we can do, we've done to this point to ensure that we can continue our operations. Our objective is beyond that. The regime must go, and Iraq must be disarmed, and that's our ultimate outcome. Please, second row.
This is a briefing by U.S. Central Command in Qatar.
Service, because of these protective chemical uniforms you found, are you enhancing the campaign of leaflets and radio? And are you reaching Baghdad, the area, with this campaign?
We do communicate throughout all of Iraq at this point. I mentioned yesterday that we've been on 5 different radio frequencies operating 24 hours a day since the 17th of February. Our coverage goes over all of Iraq, and we try to communicate with as much of the population as we can to tell them about things. We have not announced any weapons of mass destruction use or any of that sort of thing at this point in time. Please, in front row.
Sir, Neil Karlinski with ABC News. We've heard very little coming out of western Iraq. I believe one Scud launcher has been found. What can you tell us about the ongoing Scud hunt, and to what degree at this point you control the west?
We're having very good success, we believe, in the west to limit the options of the regime on threatening its neighbors. We know historically that is an area that such activities have occurred. We know that there are potential places to hide them out in that area. And so we've been very aggressive with primarily coalition special operations forces throughout the West to prevent the use of those long-range weapons threatening neighboring countries. Sir. Open on the left, please.
Ignacio Jarillo from Onda Cero Radio Network, Spanish Network. Why do you think the Iraqis TV is a military target? Because there are a lot of civilians working inside, I guess. Thank you.
We only target things that have military significance. We only target things that have military significance. As we examine the different parts of the regime and how it communicates, how it issues orders, how it controls, all these things go into our calculus of what will strike and when will strike. That's the reason. So this is something that is used by the regime to do the things that are necessary to issue instructions to regime forces. Please.
From Associated Press. There's some intelligence reports, I think, that there are several thousand Republican guards coming south from Baghdad, coming around to Nasiriya. Wondering if, at this point, can you acknowledge that you're not only dealing now with sporadic pockets of resistance or sporadic firing, but serious walls of resistance coming down from Baghdad? And also an update, please, on the situation in Nasiriya. What do you control? What have you secured? Have you got some bridges? Which side of the river are you on? And we were waiting for a casualty toll, I think, yesterday from the previous night's firefight.
Let me first talk about the situation south of Baghdad and headed down in the Karbala and Najaf areas. We certainly know about the attack that occurred on the flank of a unit south of Najaf. I mentioned that in the opening remarks. And that attack was seriously repulsed with significant damages to the attacking Iraqi force. We've not seen any significant movements of the types of forces you described from in and around Baghdad. There have been some local positionings, there have been some survival positionings, but not serious attacks, and we certainly remain, we believe, well in control of the situation at hand. You had a last part of that question, if you would repeat that.
There was around Nasiriyah, there were some casualties two nights ago, I believe.